Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
This morning's reading is from Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and you can find it in your pew Bible on page 882. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Amen. All right, so in all candor, I don't like this passage very much. It just sounds so trite. This is Jesus preaching his longest sermon, three chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. In the midst of it, this is dead center in the midst of it, Jesus says, hey, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. He says, you know, just don't worry about these things. Great. Thank you, Jesus. That helps. It just seems too easy. It seems too easy when you get a diagnosis that threatens your life or the life of a loved one. It seems too easy when you're downsized and you're called in one moment and the next moment you're unemployed. It seems too easy when you do your very, very best, you work your hardest, and you still don't make varsity. It seems too easy when that precious relationship has been broken, when betrayal has captured that relationship. It just seems too easy. Don't worry, Jesus says, about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Just don't worry about these things. Sadly, some well-meaning preachers and teachers use this passage to kind of beat us up, to say, you know, if you worry, it's because you don't have enough faith. Just get more faith, and you won't have to worry about any of these things. Some of the insidiousness of the prosperity gospel that says Jesus wants us all to be rich, by the way, in order for you to be rich, just give me more money. That's how that works. It's a cool thing, right? Yeah, that doesn't help us. It really doesn't. And And I don't think that Jesus' vision for his followers is that there would be a bunch of people walking around claiming him as Lord and Savior who would be hangry and dehydrated and naked. That's not the plan. So when he says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, drink, wear, what is that then? I think the clue comes for us in verse 24, which is the verse just before this passage, often not included in this passage as a whole, which fascinates me. Bible scholars say verse 24 really is what launches 25. After all, you heard it starts with therefore. So what is the therefore? Verse 24 reads, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will hate one and love the other, or adore one and despise the other. No one can serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve wealth. Therefore, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. I think the whole point of this conversation with Jesus and his followers is about trust. Trust. Where really do you place your trust? So, you heard Pastor Melanie lead us in the prayer of confession. Village on Antioch, you heard Pastor Anna lead us in the prayer of confession. And just after that prayer, there's this moment for silent prayer. And I don't know what you pray, but usually for me, perennially, I'm praying something like, oh, Lord God, please help me once again to trust more in you than I do in myself. That is my constant confession and petition. Help me to trust more in you than I do in myself. Somehow, I do think that when I worry about things, when I'm anxious about things, it's because I'm trying to fix them. Because I think it's about me, and it's my job, and I have to do this. And as soon as I get into that mode of worry and anxiety, of not letting go of those things, then I have displaced God, and I put myself there. And that's my own idolatry. That's my own confessional problem. So, you know that I've been talking to you off and on about budget. And tomorrow night, our session is going to consider the 2024 budget. And at one point, our deficit was looking really, really scary. You are generous people. I know that over and over again. And because of your generosity, the deficit is not as bad as it was. And I'm really grateful. But I was having some sleepless nights because, of course, it's about me. And I've got to try fix this. And I, when I can, some of you know, I live about a mile and a quarter that way over in Mission. And when I can, I'm not having to use my car, I think, during the day, then I love to walk from my house. And it was one morning early, a little after 7, I was walking. My head was down. I hadn't slept well. I was worrying about the budget and about us. And I stopped, and I looked up, and because we're in winter still, I know, not today, but we're in winter still, there are no leaves, of course, on the trees. And I looked up, and I saw this huge tree, and there are these four big nests in this one tree. And zing, right through my soul, the Holy Spirit reminds me of this passage. And I could hear God saying, Roger, look at the birds of the air. They don't plant gardens. They don't harvest their own food. They don't build barns to put food in there for the winter. And yet God seems to take care of them. Roger, why do you think God would not care for this congregation that God loves so much? Why would God not care for these people that God loves so much? Why is it always about you? I think when Jesus says, don't worry about your life, he's saying, where really, Nishioka, do you put your trust? Is your trust mostly in you, or is it really in the God of the universe? It doesn't free us from being faithful, from doing faithful things, but ultimately, I think Jesus is saying to you and to me, where do you really put your trust? So, I've done work on this my whole life long, and at different times, I've found help. And one of the greatest sources of help in this decentering myself and putting more trust in God than I do in myself has come from this woman who lived 650 years ago in the 14th century. We call her Julian, but we don't even know if that was her actual name. She lived in a town in England called Norwich in the 14th century. We know a little bit about her life. We know that she was married and she had children, and we know that they all died in one of two major plagues that swept through Norwich, England. Her husband and her children all died. We know then that she decided to dedicate her life to a life of prayer. And she had built, attached to St. Julian's Parish Church there in Norwich, a room, a cell, and she had herself walled in there. And she spent the rest of her life in that room. There are two windows in that room. One small window looks out into the sanctuary, the nave of St. Julian's Parish Church. And the other window looks out onto the street. And people began to come by, and some of them would gift her with some food so she would have sustenance. Many of them would stop, and they would ask her to pray for them. They would seek her counsel. She is the first woman to publish a work in English. She calls it The Showings, and she relates the times when Jesus appeared to her in a vision. So we call her Julian of Norwich. She talks about how powerful Jesus' care for her was, even in the tragedy of losing her family. And she dedicated her whole life to following Jesus from this little room, to praying for the whole world. As far as I can tell, the only major character flaw is that she loved cats. Every icon I've seen has her with two or three cats in the icon. But the good news is God's grace is abundant and God forgives all transgressions. So, she wrote all these things down. Amazing, lovely, powerful, mystical writings. And this is what she wrote in one of her prayers. She said, on one occasion, the good Lord told me, every kind of thing will be all right. God desires us to understand that not only does God concern God's own self with great and noble things, but God also is concerned with small and simple things. Now, there are many acts committed that to us seem so evil and so harmful that we despair of any good resulting from them. While we are in sorrow and mourning and worry, that hinders us from God's wisdom upon our lives. So God tells us, you will yourself behold that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. It is as though God is telling us, take now and trust me. Trust that nothing is forgotten. Trust that I will give you the strength you need to meet the events of our lives. And believe in God that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. So in this Lenten journey, as we consider our life of prayer, As we consider our life in the practice of fasting, let's consider the practice of letting go. Letting go of anxiety and worry. When I feel it start to consume me, I take these deep breaths we just practiced together. And I've taken now to repeating over and over again to myself the words of this remarkable woman, Julian of Norwich. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. That's what this table is about for you and for me. That's what this Lenten journey is about for you and for me. That even as our Lord turns his face to Jerusalem and to his death, even Jesus has this sense that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Friends, faith begins in letting go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.